Well, hey everyone, really good to be with you all. Today we are in the second week of a series called The Me You Don't See. Curious, when you look at me, what do you see? My fresh haircut? What I'm wearing? Don't judge me, judge my wife. She usually picks out my outfits. There's a lot you can see about me, but there's also a lot that you don't see. My thoughts, my present struggles, my past failures, my doubts. Here's something else that you can't see, my insecurity. Standing up here in front of you, you are scary at best. I'm insecure as to whether I have what it takes, whether I belong, whether you are going to like what I believe that God wants me to say. There's a me you don't see that feels insecure more often than I'd care to admit. One of the times I felt most insecure was a couple years ago when I was invited to speak at an event in Arizona. This Minnesota-based bank was launching a location in Scottsdale, and they were putting on this two-day event to inspire staff and potential clients. Perfect, I thought. I can't speak on interest rates and loans, but I can speak on discovering purpose and finding meaning in life. What I didn't know was that two of the main speakers for the event were Bob Goff and Merrill Hodge. Now, first of all, Bob Goff is one of the most prominent Christian authors and speakers in the world. And Bob spoke that first night. He was funny, charming, and brilliant, world class. Good thing I didn't have to follow that because I was scheduled for the second day right before the other featured speaker, Merrill Hodge. Now, if you don't know, Merrill played running back for the Steelers and the Bears in the late 80s, early 90s. And after retiring, he's become a popular NFL analyst on TV the last few decades. And when he showed up to speak, he looked like he had stepped off the page of a men's fashion magazine. Dressed to the nines with hands that crushed former NFL linebackers and tried to crush mine when he shook it. And a chiseled jawline that makes women swoon and men avert their eyes, I immediately felt insecure. Now, what you also don't know is that right before this event, right before this trip, because I didn't own actual dress pants, yes, I have a suit, but not dress pants that go with normal shirts, you get it. I had to go to Target to buy a pair of Hagar pants that cost $30. I joked with Emily that I was gonna keep the tags on just in case I wanted to return them when I got home. Plus the shirt I was wearing, bought at Goodwill. And Emily had found it for $5 just right before the event, said this'll work, and packed it in my bag. So I'm standing there next to Merrill, who looks literally what I picture $1 million looking like, in his three-piece suit while I'm wearing my Goodwill shirt, Target pants with the tag still on, about to go speak before Merrill. So I texted my wife, Emily. I said, listen, I don't think I belong. I don't think I can do this. And she didn't really know who Merrill was, so I sent her a picture of Merrill. And hoping for some encouragement, she responded, yeah, you're probably right. I'm kidding. Turns out Merrill was great, talk went fine. I ended up keeping the dress pants in case you were worried, even though I haven't worn them since. In that moment, however, I don't know if I've ever felt more insecure. In comparison to Merrill, I doubted I had what it took and whether I belonged. Have you ever been there? Have you ever felt insecure? I'm sure you have, because insecurity rages most often when we compare ourselves to others. We think those moms seem to have it all together. She's got three young kids, but still works out five times a week, maintains a thriving online business, and her kids have the Book of Romans memorized. That dad looks more like Merrill Hodge than Will Ferrell. But on top of that, he's also so funny. My friend is top of his class and captain of the football team. Christian author and speaker Nona Jones said this: insecurity uses other people as the measuring stick for our worth. Comparison is a killer to our insecurity, our sense of worth and value. And then we assume we're the only ones who are wondering if we're good enough, smart enough or have what it takes. But it turns out everyone battles insecurity at times, even other people we idolize. Paul McCartney, the former Beatle, once asked a reporter, "Do you know anyone who doesn't have insecurities?" Whitney Houston, pop star legend, had severe insecurities when she starred next to Kevin Costner in the movie The Bodyguard. And Costner was quoted as saying, despite her success and worldwide fame, Whitney still wondered, am I good enough? Am I pretty enough? Will they like me? Bob Merritt, our former senior pastor, the morning he preached here last month, texted me and said, I'm nervous. I hope they still like me. And I'm thinking, what could you possibly be nervous and insecure about? You are a legend. Author Edward Welch, who wrote a book called A Small Book About Why We Hide, wrote, no one has immunity from feeling the weight of insecurity. But we think if we just had what those people had, then of course we'd feel less insecure, right? Wrong. He goes on to say, insecurity cannot be quieted by immense popularity, more money, or widespread approval. Insecurity cannot be overcome by simply becoming more of whatever we're hoping to find, receive, or achieve. But insecurity can be quieted, not just not in the ways that we typically assume. In fact, we see how in some of the people we read about in our Bibles, people like Gideon, Moses, Jeremiah, and Peter were all used by God in powerful ways, but every single one of them battled insecurity. In the Old Testament book of Judges, Gideon is asked by an angel of the Lord to lead the Israelites against the Midianites, a group of people who'd been terrorizing the Israelites for quite some time. His response, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. When God asked Moses to help rescue the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, how did he respond? He said, who am I that I should go? What if they don't believe me or listen to me? I've never been eloquent. I'm slow of speech and tongue. Please send someone else. When God asked Jeremiah to be his prophet, his voice to the people, Jeremiah responded, I don't know how to speak. I'm too young. Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends, for the 3 years of his public ministry, denied even knowing Jesus as Jesus was led away to his crucifixion. And after he denied Jesus, Peter felt like such a failure that he left ministry for a while to return to his original job as a fisherman. Too weak, can't speak, too young, a failure. If you feel insecure because you doubt you have what it takes and whether you belong, join this list of biblical heroes. So how did they overcome their insecurity? Well, ultimately, by correctly answering the question behind all of our insecurity, and it's this, who do you think you are? But notice they all failed initially because they answered incorrectly. Gideon, who do you think you are? I'm too weak. Moses, I can't speak. Jeremiah, not me. I'm too young. Peter, I'm a failure. I'm a fraud. See how critical it is to answer this question correctly, and there is a correct answer. So before we go on, I gotta ask you, who do you think you are? Maybe you're afraid that people are gonna find out that you actually don't know as much as other people think you know. Maybe you're afraid that you'll be found out that you're actually not that good, that you really don't belong, that you really maybe don't have what it takes. Maybe you feel like an imposter, a fraud, a nobody. And when our insecurity takes over, what do we do instead? Well, for one, we hide. Because the last thing we want is anyone to know who we truly are. So we hide behind this imitation or fake persona of who we actually are. Or we run away from the moment. The challenge, the, the opportunity, the life that we're currently living. We overcompensate. You ever notice the most insecure people are the ones who talk too much about themselves and their accomplishments? Or they overcompensate by turning to other things to provide this false sense of security, like money or notoriety or perhaps brown nosing or sucking up to a supervisor or boss or superior. If we let insecurity win, we also tend to think that if we just dig a little deeper and try a little harder, eventually we won't feel as insecure, or we feel like Peter. We fail and then we tuck our tail between our legs and beat ourselves up for it. Why? Well, because we proved to be the failure that we just assumed we would be. So who do you think you are? Insecurity will cause us to hide, run, overcompensate, try harder, and by the way, never arrive or beat ourselves up. That's why it's critical we learn how God wants us to answer this question, who do you think you are? And I've got really good news for you, because there is a correct answer. There is a way to quiet and overcome insecurities. And no, I'm not saying that there's a way to never feel insecure again. We're probably all gonna have to wrestle this monster at times, but here's what I am saying. Insecurity does not have to get the final say in your life. Plus, here's the best news of all. It almost has nothing to do with you. And it has everything to do with God. In fact, we see Jesus give us the ultimate example of where to find our security. Now, to give some context to this passage that we're gonna look at in John, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees are challenging Jesus over who he claimed to be. And so they asked him this question, who do you think you are? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. Now, in this case, the Greek word for honor is a word meaning whatever I think, whatever the opinion, however I ascribe value to myself, Jesus says, that's nothing. So what matters? He says, it is my Father who honors me. It is my Father's opinion. It is the way my Father thinks of me that matters most. Another paraphrase of the Bible puts it like this. If I were trying to make myself somebody important, Jesus said, it would be a waste of time. That kind of fame is worth nothing. It is the Father who is behind me, urging me on and giving me praise. Did you catch that? In other words, it is God who decides who I am, where I belong, and whether I'm enough. And that means insecurity has little to do with you and everything to do with who God says you are. So to quiet insecurity, to answer this question, who do you think you are? Here's what I want you to know. First, you are not enough. And maybe you're thinking, is that a typo? What did he say? I'm sure glad I came today. That's discouraging. But I promise you, if you hang with me through this point, this is one of the most freeing things that you will ever learn, as I have come to find out over the last year once again. A couple years ago, my wife Emily and I had a specific conversation about whether we were done trying to have more kids. Now, our kids were 9 and 6 at the time, and of course, we debated it over the years, but we just never felt peace about whether we were supposed to try to have more kids or not. Well, Jason preached a message right before this particular conversation where one of the points was something like, you never know what good is on the other side of yes. So when Emily brought up having kids again, we were both 37 at the time. She said, well, Jason did say that we should say yes. So I don't think he was necessarily talking about having more kids, but you know. But throughout this conversation, throughout this time, my three biggest hesitations about having more kids were this. Number one, we didn't have a crib anymore. Number two, we didn't have a stroller. And three, I wasn't sure I wanted to be 40 years old when having new babies. Now, of course, the first two seemed silly, but we had given away all of our baby stuff. And I just could not get over the idea that we weren't gonna have enough for this baby. And the third was based on a feeling that I'd be on the decline once I turned 40, and wouldn't it be enough of a dad for another kid? Long story short, and maybe more for another day, but we were proactively open to getting pregnant for a couple years, and it just didn't happen. So my insecurities grew. Why isn't it happening? What's wrong with us? Now, do I even still want it to happen now that I'm almost 40? And we were about ready to be done trying when last September, as it happens, Emily got pregnant. And I'm excited to share with you that we will be welcoming baby number 3 soon. Okay. Yes. Just more stories to share. A couple years ago, though, when we started this conversation, I was feeling pretty confident in my own abilities about adding a third, but the longer it took, the closer I got to 40, the more that my insecurity grew. And here's why I share any of this. Because God had to teach me a lesson that he's tried to teach me over and over and over again, and it's this. God often wants to bring us to a place where it's no longer about our strength and our abilities. Instead, God wants to bring us to a place where it's about his strength, finding our security in his strength for us. The truth is, when it comes to being a dad, I'm not enough. Whether I'm 25, 40, or 75, which I will be by the time this kid is out of the house, I can't be enough. I can't. But this has been the most freeing thing that I could embrace. Why? Look what Paul writes. Jesus said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, he says, "I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." That is why he says, "For Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. For when I am weak, then I am strong." See, Paul boasts and delights in his weaknesses when he's not enough, because what Paul discovered, what I'm continuing to learn and discover, what I hope that one day you will discover, is that when we are willing to delight in our weaknesses, then God has room in our lives to fill the void with his strength. And I'm telling you, this is a spiritual, Christ-centered principle that you can take to the bank. When I am weak, then supernaturally, somehow, some way, I am strong because God fills me with his strength. And I felt it in my life over and over again. See, we will continue to struggle with insecurity if we hope to someday arrive at the place known as enough. Once I'm strong enough. Once I achieve enough. Once I acquire enough, maybe stop aging enough. Once I do enough, once my kids are enough. But the problem with enough is that it's never enough. So what's true? You are not enough, but God is enough. So how do we get to a place where God is enough? Author and leader of the If Gathering, Jenny Allen, wrote in a book called Nothing to Prove, to get to the place where God can be enough, here it is, we have to first admit that we aren't enough. It starts by simply admitting that you aren't enough without God. And Jenny said the If Gathering, which now gathers hundreds of thousands of women every year across the world to worship Jesus, said her ministry took off only when she finally confessed and admitted, "I am not enough." And then she said these words, you ready? "I'm done trying to be. I'm done." Are you ready to say the same? Stop trying to be enough. Your God is enough. That is why, for me, before speaking, I have to get on my knees and pray this prayer. When I am weak, and I am weak, you are strong. Less of me, more of you. So please let me offer you a challenge as you approach your family, your job, whatever the future holds this week. I dare you to pray these words, I am not enough. Not in a discouraging, self-defeating way, but as a way to empty yourself of yourself. But then pray, but when I am weak, you are strong. God, you are enough. Less of me and more of you. You may be not be enough, but you serve a God who is. Second truth that I want you to know is you are not who you think you are. I just wonder, when you look in the mirror on any given day, what do you see? Depending on the day, I typically will see things like, I'm afraid, I'm worried, I'm unsure, I doubt I can do it, I'm uninteresting, I'm not enough of a man, I can't give my kids enough, my faith is weak. I didn't do enough of, fill in the blank. Anyone relate? We feel insecure because we think what matters most is what we think about ourselves, which more often than not is just not all that great. No wonder we feel insecure. There's a great illustration in The Lion King. Yes, the original version is the greatest Disney movie of all time. Don't even argue. Even though a cartoon and about lions, there's this powerful scene that makes me weepy to this day. The overall premise, of course, is that Simba lost his father at a young age and had been away from his family for many years. And so before he could return home to take back his rightful place and identity as the Lion King, he first has to remember who he was and who his father was. And in this one particular scene, he's led on a journey to find his dad. But when told where to look, he looks down and sees his own reflection in the water, discouraged because he doesn't like what he sees. He's told, look harder. And suddenly the image of his actual father appears and says, Simba, you have forgotten me. You have forgotten who you are. I love this. Because every time I think this is such a powerful picture of what God wants to say to some of you today. You have forgotten your father. You have forgotten who you are. The truth is, you are not who you think you are. You are who God says you are. Who does God say that I am? Well, there's this phrase that's used over and over again in the New Testament. It's this phrase, in Christ. When we put our faith in Christ, we receive all the attributes of Jesus Christ as our own identity. So in Christ, who does God say that I am? Well, I'm chosen. I am free. I am forgiven. I'm a new person. I am protected. I belong to Jesus. I am strong. I am loved. I am blessed. I'm complete. I am made in the image of God, and I am a child of God. Who does God say that I am? I am who God says I am. You are who God says that you are. Imagine what would happen to our confidence, our joy, peace, and contentment if we all began to live this out and embrace who God says that we are. First of all, you'd stop finding your identity and how you compare to others. Instead, you'd find your identity to be unchanging and secure because now it's found in Christ. And that's good news because that means we can't do anything to achieve this security. We simply receive it. It's time to remember who you are. In my experience, you're probably going to have to remind yourself daily. That's why we've created this digital resource for you to read every day those statements about who you are in Christ with the accompanying scripture. And I would just challenge you to print this off, download it, go to our website and find these resources to guide you and read them every day and remember who you are. Who are you? You are not who you think you are. You are who God says that you are. Third thing I want you to know, you are not valuable because of what you accomplish. Every Easter since 1985, the family I married into, the McNamaras, have held a competitive Easter egg toss. And let me just emphasize the word competitive, okay? This is not a cute little Easter egg toss, okay? This is the winners celebrate wildly. They get bragging rights for the rest of the year, and then they receive a medal, okay? And that's why my son Maddox, who's born into this family, got so upset this year when his mom threw it overhand. Take a look at this video.
What the heck?
And then little sister came to just torment him. The winners of this Easter egg competition being recorded on scrap of paper since the beginning. Rain, sun, or snow on Easter, names are drawn for partners, eggs are chosen, and game on. Now, Emily, over her history, has won 4 to 5 times. Now, I've been in the family for 15 years. Guess how many times this ex-baseball player has won? I think at some point, Emily started questioning her choice of husband, but... Of course, whether it's an Easter egg competition or getting grades in school or promotions at work, we tend to move through the world based on performance and reward. Perform, achieve, win, then you get a reward. It's like the star charts that we attempted to use for our kids when they were young. Do a chore, clean your room, get good grades, then you get a star. Of course, now they don't want stars. They just want money for doing those things. There's nothing inherently wrong with star charts or rewarding achievements or rewarding success, but the primary message becomes the more that you accomplish, the more valuable you are. And the more worth is derived from our achievement. But the problem is we end up relating to God with this same kind of performance-based mindset. And when we do, we feel insecure. We start to wonder, have I done enough good to earn God's love? Does he recognize how valuable I am? Does he see what I've accomplished? But here's what you need to know. God doesn't work with star charts. He does not find you any more or less valuable based on how much you accomplish. So what's true? You are valuable because God loves you. One of the scriptures that I read every single day, along with my own affirmations that I've tucked inside my Bible, is from Romans 8, verses 35 through 39. And Paul writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword, no matter what's going on in life, no matter how much you accomplish, succeed, or fail?" Paul says, no. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Why? Through him who loved us. And he says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." See, secure people find their value in how much God loves them. And nothing can change that love. So you want to feel less insecure? Let's stop looking for security in all the wrong places. In the fickle love of a boyfriend or girlfriend. By adding more to our resumes or generating dollars for your portfolio, growing in your career, instead, remind yourself of God's love for you. Your value is not determined by how much you accomplish. Your value is determined by how much God loves you. Finally, I just believe that some people need to hear this truth today. that you have what it takes. I was fortunate enough to be born the youngest of three, and so I have two fantastic older siblings. But my brother Ryan and I share a special brotherly bond. 9 years apart, Ryan took me under his wing when he was 18 years old and spent many, many hours throwing me BP, hitting me ground balls in the front yard, and just pushing me to dream bigger than the small town we grew up in. But more than that, Ryan spent time reading the Bible with me, teaching me what it meant to follow Jesus and discipling me. My brother sacrificed, no exaggeration, years of his life pouring into me so that I could potentially become all that God wanted me to become. But one of the greatest gifts that he gave me was the gift of spiritual security and confidence. Often, whether it was before a big game, after a relationship breakup, or during a challenging season of life, Ryan would often remind me of these words, "You have what it takes." No, not because of some self-help, quasi-religious, toxic positivity type of philosophy. He'd remind me, I have what it takes based on what God has already given me. What God has given all believers who put their faith in him, who we are in Christ. And I realize not everyone is fortunate enough to have that kind of foundation. When it comes to insecurity, some of you have a lot to overcome. Traumatic childhood, family who's made you feel anything but secure, spouses who've abandoned you, kids who've failed you, bosses who fired you. I know this is not easy. I can see why it's not easy to overcome your insecurity. But the message I so desperately want to leave you with, the one I confidently believe that God wants you to hear, is that you have what it takes. And why do I know that? Because it's not based on anything that you can do. It's not based on anything that you have done or will do. No, I can say that because it's based on everything that Jesus has done and will continue to do for you. You have what it takes because God is enough. You are who God says you are, and God loves you. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, grateful for your word. Grateful for this reminder that we find our security and identity in you. We all battle insecurity, different ways, looks different within each one of us. But I pray for those who are really struggling to feel secure and who you've created them to be. I pray, Lord, that you would just provide them a spiritual, overwhelming sense of the identity that you have given them, the value you have ascribed to them. Why? Because of their faith in you. And so that identity we receive, the one that Jesus has given us. And for those maybe where insecurity isn't as big of an issue, I pray that they would be a Ryan in someone else's life. That they would remind people of what's true, their kids, their family members, their friends, that those people have what it takes because there is a spiritual security and confidence that is only found in you. And Jesus, for all of us, I pray that we would be people who would move through life with that security, that foundation, that bold understanding that there is nothing we can do to earn or change that love that you have for you, and God, that changes how we live. So we receive it all from you, and we want to be people who live it out in Jesus' name. God, we love you. Thank you for loving us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you'd like prayer, we'll have a prayer team down front. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.